So we are on Halacha Day. Today is the 7th of February, 2020. We are Halacha Day of Perek Yud Gimel. And the Halachos in Perek Yud Gimel deal with a couple of issues that are a little hard. One is it talks about Navi Shaker, a false prophet, as well as a Mesis, somebody who convinces another to do a Avodah Zarah. And the third major topic is that of an Ir Nidachas, the rebellious city. So I flipped through the Torah to meet many interesting sort of like Lamaisa issues, and we could talk about the halachos of a Navi Shaker, but anything that is more Lamaisa. And then I realized that there is a very practical halacha that is learnt out from the Pesukim here, and that is the prohibition of yichud, the prohibition of being with a somebody of the opposite sex that you would not be allowed to have relations with. So that is deduced from this perek. Where in the world is it deduced? How do you see that in this parak? So the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin tells us. The Gemara in Maseches Kedushin says, first the Mishnah is Elis Yachir Adam im Shtei Nashim Aval Isha Achas Mis Yachedes im Shtei Nashim. Okay, he gives the details that one man is not permitted to be with two women, one woman is not permitted to be with two men, and he gives a couple of the other rules. So the Gemara says, Minahani Mili. Where do you get this from? Where do you get that there is a prohibition of yichud? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Remez li yichud min haTorah minayin. Where is there an allusion to the prohibition of yichud? Now, anytime the Gemara says remez, so remez generally doesn't mean that is a din d'oraisa, that is a biblical prohibition. It generally means like, oh, where do you see that the Torah is hinting to this idea? And generally it would be something called an esmachla. Now the problem here is, though, that when the same Gemara is introduced in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and Maseches Avodah Zarah is introduced as yichud d'oraisa minayin. Where do you see that yichud is an iser d'oraisa? So that is already, well, right off the bat, that is a major issue. I mean, is it an iser d'oraisa or is it a d'rabbanan? If I were to ask someone on the street, hey, you know, gila rais is prohibited. What about the iser of yichud? What does that sound like? So it really sounds like an iser d'rabbanan, right? It is protecting you from the prohibitions of arayas. However, there are several examples in the Torah of what we would call geder d'oraisas, like that the Torah employed geder around the mitzvah. So one, maybe the most famous example of that would be the Isser of Bal Yirah, Bal Yematzeh, the prohibition, the idea that you have to get rid of all of your chametz on Pesach. So is that an independent halacha? Well, you got to have houses empty of chametz, or is it that you got to get rid of your chametz so that you don't eat it? That sounds like a din derabanan. So no, sometimes the Torah itself will provide its own safeguards. So it's a little bit vague how one quantifies the prohibition of yichud. But anyways, the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Rishon Torah 9, Shneamar ki yisischa achicha ben imecha." From our perek, right? If your brother, the son of your mother, is going to instigate you—that's the way it's translated. Yisischa. So mesis is the prohibition of convincing someone else to go ahead and do a avodah zarah with you. So the pasuk here is ki yisischa achicha ben imecha, that if your brother from your mother tries to instigate you. So the Gemara says, "V'chi ben eim mesis ben av eno mesis." This is why would only your brother through your mother try to be a mesis, but not your brother through your father. So el lomar lacha, rather to explain, ben misyachidim imo v'aser lisyachidim kol arayah shebetorah. Rather, it's to hint to the idea that a person would be secluded with their mother, but it is prohibited to be secluded with the other arayos of the Torah. Okay, so that is where the Gemara is, like, it's a pretty far-fetched thing, yeah. but it identifies specifically as your maternal brother to tell you that you would be secluded with your mother in order to be able to get this type of convincing. But you would not be permitted to be with the other arayos in the Torah. Now there is a little bit of confusion out there, really. What about your grandmother? Can you have yichud with your grandmother? What about yichud with your sister? What about yichud with your daughter? What about yichud with your granddaughter? Right. So these are there's a bit of a question about this. We generally assume that that really any of these seven relatives or in that direction are permitted to have yichud with. There is an issue with daughters, though. There is I didn't prepare this, but the we're a little shaky with regards to daughters, and is generally recommended in the poskim that a brother and sister not be left alone for several days at a time. Like the parents leave town and just leave a brother and sister together, right? So that's not considered to be appropriate. The poskim tell us. Okay, so anyways, so Pashti de Krubba Maiksiv. Now it explains a simple explanation. It gives you a simple explanation, but that's the basis. So the same Gemara also, right, I mentioned before, appears in the Sefer Avodah Zarah. So there is some basis to the Torah, from the Torah to prohibit yichud, to prohibit seclusion with another. Is it the Oraisa, is it the Rabbanan? So the breakdown is the Rambam holds that it is considered Medivri Kabbalah, that is considered the Rabbanan, and the Rush assumes based on that Gemara, based on that Pasuk in the... based on the what was I going to say? The Rush, based on the fact that the Gemara itself says that it's d'oraisa, assumes that it is an issur d'oraisa. Once you assume it's an issur d'oraisa, what is it? Is it a separate issue, meaning you're just not allowed to have yichud, or is it sort of associated with arayas itself, an extension of arayas itself? What's the nafgamina? So one could make the claim. One can make the following extension that. When we say that several prohibitions are yehorig val yavur, right? You have to die rather than violate them. So that's generally three things. Arayah shvichas damim, gil arayah shvichas damim, and avodah zara. Not only that, what about the avazraihu? What about the extensions of those things? Would that also be yehorig val yavur? So that's a little bit of a machlokas. And what about yichud? Is yichud considered an avazraihu de gil arayah? So this is considered a separate halacha. So one could make the link and say that would therefore be a yehorig val yavur. We generally would not assume that it is Yehorik Val Yavor to be Miyachid, but perhaps that thought could be out there. So that issue actually made it into a New York State courtroom in 1964. There is a famous court case entitled, it's famous in Jewish circles, it's listed under worst shidduch dates ever. There is a court case entitled Friedman versus the State of New York, where a girl named Friedman, I forget her name, I didn't write it all down here, I've put it here, went with a boy. She was 16, he was 19. They were working in the same camp, and they went out on their day off to Bel Air Mountain in New York to go sightseeing. They took the chairlift up, and then they took the chairlift down, but apparently they went a little too late on chairlift down, and the chairlift stopped in the middle of their stay there. They called out for 15-20 minutes, nobody came to their rescue, and the girl started getting all freaked out and pulled the bar up and jumped off and got significant injuries. Right, so part of her claim, so they sued the Bel Air Mountain was owned by the state of New York, so they sued the state of New York for damages, and part of her claim is that Jewish law required me to jump off the chairlift. Now they actually brought in rabbis into the courtroom to argue this out, right? She's saying it's prohibited for me to be with this boy. We're going to be there overnight, and that is my. So there's a couple reasons, but there's a couple ways that this makes it even mitigates this even more, and that is that the isser of yichud d'oraisa is probably only between arayos. She and this boy are not arayos. If they're not married, they're not arayos. Now she is a nida. Which could make it, which is questionable whether the Isser, whether that's considered Gilei Arayos to be Bo'el and Nida, I believe. So it's unclear whether it really is applicable, whether it would be applicable in that case. But the truth is, the question before the court of New York is not whether, not to paskin this shaila about whether it's Yehorig Val Yavor for a boy and a penuya, and for an unmarried girl to be together, biyichud, rather, especially if it's on a, you're on a chairlift and kind of hard to maneuver, and it's unclear whether that's even considered ichud. The question really is does it make sense that it would be in her mind that she would be required to do that? That's really the question that was decided, and that's what the witnesses testified in court, that it is understandable that she would think that she could do such, that she should jump off the chairlift. And the court actually found in her favor, awarding her something like $35,000 to her and $2,500 to him, because it was not marked off appropriately. I think it was not marked off appropriately at the top, that if you go at this point, there's nobody there, they just like walked right onto the chairlift, not realizing that it would be stopping the middle. So there was negligence involved, and they actually got some money off of it. It also, I don't know who these people were. I mean, if she was 16 in 1963, that would make her
37, 57 plus 16,
73
years old.
In her 70s now. So I don't know where this girl is now, but you actually see like the change in the times. The way it's described, the court case is an ultra-Orthodox girl who's 16, went out with a boy who was a counselor in the same camp.
What did they go out together for anyways?
Yes, yes.
That's a bad start.
So check out, you know, in the 60s, even, I don't know what the court filing meant by ultra-Orthodox camp, right? There's no ultra-Orthodox camps that are co-ed, so I don't know. But she certainly was Orthodox, came from Brooklyn and went to yeshivas and had that education. Yeah?
If this is a significant, you know, if you're 5 feet off the ground, it's no big deal, but...
Yeah, it was 20 feet off the ground.
Yeah, so you're supposed to make the choice to get injured instead of... Sitting.
Well, no. So you're not... For a couple of reasons, right? Number one is because they were unmarried. Both of them were unmarried, and therefore probably isn't considered a rias anyways. Number two, it's unclear whether that's really considered yichud if you're hanging on a chair in the middle of, right? So you're obviously not in full view, otherwise someone would come and get you. But, you know, the relations are not really going to happen under those circumstances anyways. But it was sort of a concern, what's going to be with me? Are people going to find out about this? Or, you know, that sort of issue. But it really would not be. And the third, by the way, mitigating factor is that the Isser of Yichud is probably an active prohibition, right? There's Yehorig Val Yavor, things that we say you have to die rather than violate, is only if you're going to do it. You're going to do something, right? What if somebody says, I'm going to shove you off the top of this building, and you're going to land on somebody down there, right? And if you don't agree to do that, so I'm going to kill you, right? But by you landing on the other guy, you're going to be saved, yeah. Right? So you have according to Talalata, you have the right to just say, I'm not making a decision, right? I'm going to stand here. You do what you want, right? And therefore, you don't have to give up your life, so to speak, under that scenario, because you're going to be inactive. So the same thing would be with girls often in Arias. There's a concept in Halacha called Nashim, to be Karka Olam, that a girl could just say, look, I'm going to lay here, do what you want. Right? Therefore, it wouldn't be considered Yehorig Val Yavor for her. And finally, in this scenario, the issue of Yichud, so they didn't actively violate Yichud. I mean, in retrospect, I guess they did by getting on the chair, but they didn't anticipate actively in violation. So now, all of a sudden, look at that. All of a sudden, the elevator shuts down, right? And now, we're in yichud together. So would I be obligated under those scenarios? No, because you didn't violate the halacha, right? You were ba'ones, you were shoved into that halacha. Okay, but anyway, but again, the way the court's looking at it, the court's just looking at it as to what might she have thought, not actually had a paskin, the Shaila. But I didn't want to speak about it because this actually comes up for me in my business as the mezuzah guy when I go to people's houses. The issue of often I'll go to people's house in the middle of the day, the husband's at work, the woman's at home, right? So is that permissible or is that going to then have an isser of yichud? So what are the mitigating factors? And this is not just, for any repairman that's going to have those issues. Anybody who's in a business, let's just a plumber, electrician, go to people's houses, so it's going to have yichud issues. You have the issue the other way also, meaning if you're the person home and somebody is coming, right? So is that going to be an isser of yichud from that perspective? Yeah, so those are some of the issues to raise. So the Gemara does tell us, the Gemara gives a significant dispensation. And that is the following. Where is it? There. Amar Rabba, Baila Bi'ir ain Choshishin Mishum Yichud. That if the woman's husband is in the city, one does not have to be choshesh for the prohibition of yichud. So Amar Rav Yosef, and the Rav Yosef adds in, Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, if there is an opening to the public thoroughfare, Ein Choshen Mishum Yichud. You don't have to worry about the yichud. So those are two significant leniencies. So hold on. So the Gemara then tells a story. Rav Bibi Ikli Levei Rav Yosef. Rav Bibi once visited Rav Yosef, Basher Decharach Rifta, after he ate with him. Amar Lu, Rav Yosef says to him, or says to his servant, Shekule Darga Mitusi Bibi. Take the ladder away from Bibi. Sounds like Bibi was staying upstairs. Him and his wife are downstairs. Rav Yosef is like, going to learn at night or something. So he tells him, remove the ladder so that Bibi can't get down to be with my wife, and therefore there won't be Yichud. So the Gemara asks, why did Vavama Rabba buy the beer in Choshen Mishum Yichud? But wait a second, Rabbi Yosef wasn't going to Chicago. Rabbi Yosef was going down the block to the Beis Medrash. So why did he not have the heter of buy the beer? So where it says, well, shiny Rav Bibi deshush benise havei vegeisei, because they were close friends and therefore they were familiar. Meaning this Rav Bibi and I guess the wife of Rav Yosef sort of knew each other. It's unclear what that means, how close friends they were. But because they were friends, there was some kind of connection between the two. You have to be more machmer. So the Gemara gives really three things. Number one, by Lebi'ir, there's some kind of permissibility. Number two, if there's a door that opens to the street, so there's some kind of heter there also. And number three, but if you have some kind of connection together, so that makes things worse. Okay? Good so far? Fine. So there's a question, what exactly is the heter that was dispensed here? So Rashi here makes the case. Rashi says, Bailabir ein choshin lo mishum yichud, says Rashi, lahalkos, to get makos. The mistafimi baal hashta asiplus. He's concerned that the husband's going to come. So what is Rashi adding in by saying to get makos? So that Rashi is understood to saying, but the Gemara didn't give any heter here. Right? The Gemara says that baila bi'ir, there's not going to be an issue of yichud, says Rashi, only to the point that you're not going to get makos for violating it. But doesn't mean that it becomes permissible. Right, it doesn't mean that it becomes permissible. So Tosos right away says that's a problematic statement, right? Ein chush and lahalkus mashvi toch pirusha, says Tosos, that there's still an iser. Bakasha, but if so, then what the Gemara ask on Rav Yosef, right? The very next story is Rav Yosef comes and says, "Oh, I can't have my friend Rav Bibi with my wife when I go down the block." So the Gemara raises a question, because obviously because that would be Baila Be'ir, and therefore it shouldn't be a problem. So why is it a problem? Because they're related. So it says Tosos, according to Rashi, why is it a problem? Because it's still a problem, right? Baila Be'ir is no heter, it's not a full dispensation, and this means that you're not going to have a Makos issue, but it's not going to be, it all of a sudden becomes permissible. So rather, Toso says, what is the Gemara telling us? This issue of Baila Be'ir, if the husband is in the city, that means that it's mutter. That means that it is permissible. Okay, so how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosos. The Rashi is quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan later on, and for that reason, some say that one should try to be machmir like Rashi. And I remember once raising this. In fact, I forgot to look it up. I believe the Nosei Kelim on the side of Shulchan Aruch quote Rashi. Even the Shulchan Aruch doesn't, the Nosei Kelim quote. I remember one time. What the issue was. I think it might be when I was engaged. And I stayed someplace. So I think we went to my brother-in-law. And my wife was going to stay with my future brother-in-law. I was going to stay in their house. And I was going to stay down the block. So he told me, the husband goes to the early minyan. You can decide what you want to do later. I was like, wait, so the husband goes to the early minyan. That means that I'm stuck alone. So what do you mean? We don't pass by Levi'ir. Like, yeah. By Levi'ir, but I know he's going to be a minion for 45 minutes. No, we pass him by Levi'ir. That's what he told me. So, I don't know. I wasn't really sure at the time. Looking around, yeah, it seems that we could rely on it. But, so Mi'ikar Adin, by Levi'ir is we pass him like Tosos, that it's okay. There are those that suggest that one should be Machmer for that. The bigger question, though, is that what exactly is this heter of by Levi'ir? Right, it's Baila Be'ir that the husband is someplace in the city, and therefore there has some kind of protection over the girl that no girl would dare have an affair when her husband is in town. Or is it because we're concerned that the husband is going to walk in? I mean, is it a practical thing or is it sort of a psychological thing? That's the question that then that really gets out there, and it ends up being a machlokes. The Chacham Sadam is on the side that it is no. It's all about a chashash frisnus. It's all about a practical concern, etc. While others, I saw the Chida quoted, but others say no. I believe the Chazon Ish tells us, but I couldn't find it explicitly. The Chida says no. It's Emas Baila that she's concerned that her husband is there. There's a fear that sets in when the husband is in town. And therefore, there is no heter of yichud. That's a very helpful heter, right? That means that okay, so the husband's at work, he's in the city, that's okay. But it raises, what's the nafka mean between those two things? So here's a couple. Number one, what about if the baila beer? So the girl says, all right, I'll come to your house, right? But she's not home, so one could say, well. Okay, so the husband's not going to be able to find us. There's no concern that he's going to walk in. On the other hand, or do you say, well, the husband's in the city, so nothing's going to happen? Right, unless there's a concern. Another issue is, what about if he's on the other side of the city? Right, you live in Lower Merion. First of all, another question is, is it a strict city issue? I mean, you live in Lower Merion, and it works in downtown Philadelphia. Right, so is that considered one city, or is that considered separate cities? So that most assume that it follows the halachic definition of cities, which is houses that are together in the same place. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying that Ramat Gan and Tel Aviv is considered the same city for when it comes to Hilchos Yichud. What about the other side of the city? I know he's not coming home because he's on the other side of the city because he's at work all day. Or and beyond that, so maybe you can say it still applies. Why? Because he could. It says, but maybe that's only in the old days when the husband went to work and you didn't call him during the day. There was no way of being in touch. And then he came home when he came home. If he doesn't feel it, he comes home earlier. I mean, there's always a chance he could come home. But if you just talked to him on the phone and he said, okay, honey, I'll be home. I have to work late tonight. I'll be home 9 o'clock. I just ordered supper. So then you know he's not coming home. All right? Or you know that he's in, he's downtown and you heard that there's a, traffic on 76, and you know that he's not possible he's going to come home for a half an hour. Or what about the following? Nowadays there are apps. I don't know, my wife finds this app kind of freaky, but we have a relative that has this, that keeps everybody, knows where everybody is at all times, because they have their tracking on, and it's good, this way I know my husband's going to be home, I'll make sure to put the food in the oven as soon as he crosses, as soon as he's within 4 miles, I'll heat up dinner for him. Right, so, but you also know if he's not within a couple of miles of the house. And then the fourth one, which is interesting, and then we're kind of running out of time, is the issue of if the husband gave permission. So the Bina Chachmas Adam says, not only do I say that the idea of Baila Be'ir is a very practical issue, but it's even more. He says, let's say the wife says to the husband in the morning, oh, by the way, the plumber's coming today. Right? So then the husband comes home, and the plumber's there. So the husband's not going to think anything of it. Well, she said that the plumber's coming today. Right? Oh, hey, right? He quickly got himself dressed, right? The husband's not going to be suspicious at all. As opposed to if somebody else shows up, who he wasn't expecting, right? So then no matter what happens, he's going to be suspicious to what's going on. So perhaps then there's a greater fear of Baila Be'ir. That actually gets into the other issue of what did Rav Bibi mean by Libo Gaspa? What did he mean by, what did Gemara mean when it said, because the Shushpedina have the Gaisebe, that they're familiar. Does familiar mean that they're really good friends, and therefore there's a concern that they're more likely to get together? Or does it mean that the husband, Rav Yosef and Rav Bibi are good friends, and that's why Rav Bibi is staying in the house, because he's good friends with Rav Yosef, so therefore Rav Yosef comes home later and sees Rav Bibi having a cup of coffee with Rav Yosef's wife, and say, oh, hey, Bibi, how was your evening? Right? He expected him to be there. So really, a lot of this boils down to the general question, the question of, is Hilchus Yichud a practical issue, or is it a halachic issue? Right? Is it really just we're going to use our logic and figure out what the what the appropriate guidelines are, or is it that we're going to follow strict halacha and kind of wherever that leads us, that's where the halacha is going to take us? So it seems lamaisa we actually pass in sort of the second way. If you look in the svarim, that's the impression that I got from when I learned it. But I remember when I learned Hilchus Yichud, I learned it over the summer in Marosh HaKolel. It was the summer before I was going to start dating. I figured, let's learn Hilchus Yichud. So I remember asking a lot of shaylos to Rabbi Willig. Pretty much all the answers were the most important rule in Yichud, Klal Aleph and Hilchus Yichud, is you use your brain, right? You use your seichos. That's the side that he comes out on. And it is important. These halachos are important, not just in specifically these areas of Yichud, but other areas. Probably the best way to avoid internet issues is to not be miyachid with your computer. The best ways of avoiding fraud is not to be miyachid with money. There is an idea that you shouldn't have a gabbai tzedakah acting alone. You should always have two people acting gabbai tzedakah. Best way to ensure that eruv checking gets done well is to have two people checking the eruv together. So the Hilchos Yichud is a very powerful force, and we should make sure to use it. And while it does bring up some annoyances in terms of me, the mezuzah guy, figuring out time when to get my jobs done, it is certainly an appropriate thing to do, maintain, and avoid a lot of other issues down the line as well. All right, so we'll stop here and pick up your session next week.